KJAN Sports.
It's time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Well, the Atlantic Athletic Schools, Athletic Booster Club, represented by Raylynn Barkley, along with Kip Harris with the Atlantic Facilities Fundraising Committee, said on Monday that the committee has reached its goal of matching funds needed to put field turf on the Trojan Bowl. Jim Tyler and his family, along with their business, the Atlantic Bottling Company, kicked off efforts to fund the project by donating $100,000 as a matching grant. Harris and Barkley thank the Tyler family and Atlantic Bottling for their continued support of Atlantic and the many community projects they've supported over the years. Financial reports indicate that $137,050 was raised during the 3 months ending March 31st. That brings the total amount raised to $237,050. Fundraising will conclude for the Field Turf project on June 15th. Those who might be interested in supporting the project can send their contribution to 1307 East 7th Street. That's Attention Emily Friend here in Atlantic at 50022. Make those checks payable to the Atlantic Schools Booster Club. Well, the Big Ten Conference extended its ban on organized workouts and activities from May 4th to June 1st. That extension means organized workouts with strength and conditioning staffs and on-campus meetings with players cannot happen until at least then. Under normal NCAA off-season rules, you are allowed 8 hours per week with your team in the weight room and film room. Right now, the only thing you're allowed to do is conduct digital meetings remotely with your players. Iowa strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle says training facilities may look a lot different when football players return to campus. Doyle is used to having 30 players per shift in the weight room, but that may change due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
We're going to need to address some things from a hygiene perspective. There'll be some unique challenges there when you bring a number of guys into a locker room, a weight room. We don't know what that trigger date will be, and we don't know exactly what parameters we'll have when we enter that next phase.
Doyle says the coaching staff is looking at a variety of plans that would help to lower the risk.
We may be in small group setting. We've heard that, but certainly disinfecting, having janitorial staff available immediately upon completions of workouts. So we're going to need to have a really thorough plan, which we're currently working on.
Doyle says they are looking at all aspects of the training facilities.
We're working on return to play protocols. We're working on return to training protocols, along with the sports medicine staff and our coaches. So this is something that we take very, very seriously. The safety and the wellness of the athletes will be at the forefront of our minds as we plan, and we'll certainly follow the directions of the experts in the medical community as to how to go about it.
What will college athletic events look like when campuses begin hosting events this fall? That's a question administrators are mulling as they look ahead to an all-clear from the COVID-19 pandemic. Chuck Yorrigan is commissioner of the American Rivers Conference.
The actual, trigger to play, that's sort of out of our control. We're going to be taking a lot of our lead from the NCAA, but, what's going to happen with our events? Are we going to have social distancing at our football games? Are we going to have, is this incidental, this kind of, friendly camaraderie contact of handshakes and whatever goes on, but, before and after an athletic contest, is that going to change, not just for this year, but maybe forever?
Yorrigan says things may look a lot different.
We're already starting to think about, what's going to happen, event management wise. What's going to happen to the pregame and postgame handshake? Is that over forever?
He says they are looking at a lot of different options when it comes to game management.
It's uncharted territory, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all changes the collegiate athletics landscape, because I think there's just no question that it will in a very drastic way.
Schools at all levels looking toward the future. Well, former Buffalo Bills coach Marv Levy, a longtime rival of Don Shula, says the late Miami Dolphins coach was one of the great credits to the game has ever been. Shula, who died Monday at age 90, won the most games of any NFL coach and led the Dolphins to the only perfect season in league history. He retired following the 1995 season with 347 wins, 173 losses, and 6 ties, and was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1997. Shula became the only coach to guide an NFL team through a perfect season when the 1972 Dolphins went 17-0. Levy says Shula was the winningest coach in the history of the league and did it by playing by the rules and honoring the game. Well, the NFL is moving 5 games scheduled for London and Mexico City this season back to U.S. stadiums because of the coronavirus pandemic. All 5 regular season games will be played at the stadiums of the host teams. Scheduled were 2 home games for the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium in London and 2 at Tottenham's new facility with the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins as the hosts. The Arizona Cardinals were to be the home team for the game at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. The opponents had not yet been announced. The Dallas Cowboys have made room for new backup quarterback Andy Dalton by waiving the player who sat behind Dak Prescott for most of the past 3 seasons. Cooper Rush saw mop-up duty in 5 games. Prescott hasn't missed a game in his 4 seasons. Dalton, a former Cincinnati starter, is guaranteed at least $3 million in his 1-year contract. Former third-round pick Nazir Jones was one of 4 players waived by the Seattle Seahawks as the team reached its 90-man roster limit. Jones, running back Adam Choice, defensive tackle Shakir Soto and linebacker Pita Tompoemu were all released on Monday. Jones was the only one to have played in a game for Seattle. The Chicago Bears have signed wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. to a 1-year contract. A 13-year veteran who has played in Super Bowls with San Francisco and Carolina, Ginn caught 30 passes for 421 yards and 2 touchdowns with New Orleans last season. He has 409 receptions for 5,702 yards and 33 touchdowns for Miami, San Francisco, Arizona, Carolina, and New Orleans. Louisville has received a notice of allegations from the NCAA that accuses its men's basketball program of committing a level 1 violation with an improper recruiting offer and extra benefits, and several level 2 violations that accuse former Cardinals coach Rick Pitino of failing to promote an atmosphere of compliance. That notice is the completion of a nearly 2-year NCAA investigation. Louisville acknowledged its involvement in federal corruption investigation of college basketball related to the recruitment of former player Brian Bowen II, which led to the ousters of Pitino and athletic director Tom Urich in October of 2017. Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson headline a $3 million charity match on May 17th that marks the return of televised golf. They will be partners against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff in a skins match called TaylorMade Driving Relief. All the money goes to COVID-19 relief. McIlroy and Johnson will be playing for the American Nurses Foundation, while the Oklahoma State alumni team will be playing for the CDC Foundation. That match will be played at Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, Florida, and it will be the club's first event to be shown on television. A new Red Sox outfielder, Alex Verdugo, said on Monday that he is fully healthy and he'll be ready for the season if there is one. Verdugo has used the delay caused by the coronavirus pandemic to rehab a stress fracture in his spine he already had when Boston acquired him from the Dodgers in the deal that sent Mookie Betts to Los Angeles on the eve of spring training. At the time, the Red Sox said he was not expected to break camp with the rest of the ball club. Verdugo had said he may be ready slightly after opening day. Verdugo said he remained active at home after the Red Sox complex in Fort Myers, Florida was shut down, but things have been easier since he was allowed to return to the ballpark last week, and he's now working out 4 days a week. Because of social distancing mandates, the only other player that he's seen there is pitcher Chris Sale. Well, Mike Trout and Garrett Cole aren't the only major leaguers with a big financial incentive to get back on the field. While they had a starry quartet that would take in more than $200,000 per game, 65 players would earn at least $100,000 each time their team wins or loses. That's according to an Associated Press analysis of their contracts. Most rookies and those making the minimum would get nearly $3,500 each from a major league payroll of about $24 million per game. Clubs would benefit, too, with huge revenue streams flowing from regional sports networks and national broadcast contracts. And Tampa Bay Rays minor league reliever Blake Bivens says he learned through social media of the deaths of 3 family members last summer. Speaking publicly for what is believed to be the first time about the August 28th deaths of wife Emily, 1-year-old son, and mother-in-law Joan Bernard, Bivens on Sunday recalled details of traveling home to Keeling, Virginia from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he had been on a road trip with the Rays AA Montgomery affiliate. The 24-year-old pitcher's brother-in-law, Matthew Bernard, was arrested, charged with 3 counts of murder, and is awaiting trial. Bivens spoke for more than 30 minutes with interim senior pastor Travis Gore of the River Church during a conversation aired live on Facebook. The athlete said his faith has helped him cope with those deaths. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.